Good morning and welcome to The Way I See It. My name is Vanessa Coleman. And I've got to tell you, first of all, that this is a totally new experience for me. So please bear with me. I'm not very good with technology. In fact, just finding out how to record this podcast has been a journey in itself. But anyway, hey ho. Here we are. So if you're listening to this, obviously it has worked. So who am I? Well, you can read all about me, but will you really know who I am? Because let's face it, today, if anything's written about you in the press, they like to sensationalize things. It's not always the truth. So if you want to find out about who the real Vanessa Coleman is, then may I suggest that you listen to my podcasts and you can find out for yourself. And I was going to call this podcast Speak As You Find, because have you noticed in life that we spread about, and you know, I'm guilty of it too, we spread gossip and we don't even know as it's true. And you know, I've been on the end of this where, you know, Chinese whispers, by the time it's come back to me, I mean, honestly, some of the most horrendous things have been said about me. And there's not a grain of truth about it, about them. In fact, I learnt a word last year, and the word was factoid. And I don't know if you know what a factoid is, but I gather it means that if you say something enough times, in the end, people believe it as a fact, even though it wasn't, you know? And this can happen so much in life, can't it? So whether it's speak as you find or the way I see it, this is me. Anyway, going back to a little bit about me, I've had an amazing life. There's not many things I don't think that I've experienced, you know. It's been a bit of a roller coaster. In fact, I think I've probably climbed more ladders and come down more snakes than most people. Mind you, I am getting on a bit. I'm the wrong side of 60. Well, in actual fact, nearer to 70. But there you go, labels. We've got to get beyond labels, you know, old people, ethnic people. You know, so many labels have been put on me. Ex-madam, ex-con, that woman. So many things. And really, recently I met somebody, and in actual fact, it was for a radio interview. And of course, she knew nothing about me other than the fact of my title, a little bit of history. And after the interview, she said to me, "You're not anything like I thought you'd be." So, you see, we do have preconceived ideas, don't we, about people. Honestly, sometimes you really can't tell a book from its cover. That's why I prefer that people get to know me before they find out about my past. Because from my experience, when they found out about my past, they can often, you know, a wall goes up and they don't want to know. They're not interested, really. They've just seen, oh, ex-madam, oh, no, don't want to know that. And regardless, in fact, as well, in the last year, what I've found is that people that I'd known for years, that because of something that was written in the press, that all of a sudden they started to turn their backs on me, even though they'd known me for years. Do you know what I mean? I was still the same Vanessa, but because they became fearful of things they read in the press. So definitely the media has a lot to answer for. That's why I, you know, I am supporting Paul Perrin in this Radio Free UK project, because I think it's important that we get things out there that, you know, you can't do on mainstream TV, radio, so much political correctness. And in fact, one of the reasons that I wrote my autobiography, An Accidental Madam, was because I wanted to put the record straight. You know, even when I was in court, which was a wholly new experience for me, and, you know, I didn't realise that I wasn't going to be able to speak other than to plead guilty. But even that, with hindsight, really and truthfully, I should have pleaded not guilty. It was very wrong, as far as I can see, very wrong. How can you one minute be, I can't say coerced, but guided by the police as to how to run your business, to get security, helping the police over a decade, and then all of a sudden, you know, a U-turn, and the next thing is bang to rights, and, you know, I was arrested, and the rest is history, so they say. And it, funny enough, it was only after I'd come out of prison, which, thank goodness, wasn't for too long, and I was released at the Court of Appeal in the Strand, and I had my Guildford Five moment when I was free. I can't tell you what an amazing feeling that was. You know, justice prevailed. And that was when I set about, but we're talking now, this was in 2006, but it's taken me an awful long time to get over the trauma. But afterwards, I started looking into things and preparing to write my book. I'm not a writer. My education, simple education. I went to a grammar school. I was born in Derby. I come from a humble background, but a very solid background. Wonderful parents, a brother, a sister. And we've all gone on to be very entrepreneurial. I remember before my father died, one day he was crying, and I said to him, "Why are you crying?" And he said, "Well, I feel a failure in life." I said, "A failure? How can that be when you've brought up three children and we've all gone on to do, you know, amazing things?" You know, my brother went off, he learnt to become a chartered accountant. He decided to travel the world. He ended up in America starting his own business. My sister, amazing. I think she's probably now a millionaire. She's got involved in, first of all, hairdressing, and then she built up a property empire. Absolutely amazing. And anyway, back to having come out of prison and deciding to write my book. And I found, funny enough, on the internet, came under the heading of Powers of the Courts. And under section 152, in brackets 2, of the Criminal Justice Act 2003, it says, "The court must not pass a custodial sentence unless it is of the opinion that the offence or the combination of the offence and one or more offences associated with it was so serious that neither a fine alone nor a community sentence can be justified for the offence." Now, you know, I was sentenced to 8 months, and when my barrister said to the judge, "Is it because she's been successful?" And this is after the prosecution had said what, you know, that I was a good employer, that I was fair, that I treated everybody really well, you know. And the fact is that, as my barrister said, if I'd only made a few hundred pounds, then I probably wouldn't have been sent to prison. But I was sent to prison because I was successful. Now, in the newspapers, of course, they said I was greedy. But you know what, from life, I mean, I've had many, many businesses, all sorts of businesses. But what I've found in life is that if you do something well and you work really hard, and then that brings success. And normally with success, that brings money on the back of it. So was I really being punished for being successful? And you have to bear in mind, as my barrister said, my age. And also the fact that I'm the sole carer of my daughter who has learning difficulties. And it meant that when I was sent to prison, she was left to in the hands of social services because her father had died years earlier. So, you know, I thought it was quite a wicked thing of the judge to do. And I think basically when I got to the Court of Appeal, they couldn't say it because, of course, they weren't allowed to criticise the other judge. But, they basically did. I think I've put some of the transcript in my book. But anyway, you know, it happened and I had to get over it. Coming back to one of my pet hates of injustice, do you not think that why should I be sent to jail when a guy in Rotherham, who they described as a Muslim sex pest, escapes jail due to good character? Now, surely there's something wrong in the system here. The fact that why should somebody who's abused somebody not go to prison? And me, I didn't abuse anybody. In fact, as far as I'm concerned, you know, everybody, it was a win-win situation. My staff were happy, the clients were happy. I paid tax, so the tax man was happy. The police were always happy because they knew that I ran a tight ship, that I hated drugs. In fact, I hate smoking, never smoked. And alcohol, well, that's another thing. I suppose one of my vices is I do like a glass or two of red wine. And in my next podcast, I will be talking about alcohol and alcoholism. I think particularly after the death of Charles Kennedy, which maybe or maybe not, it's related to his alcoholism. But I've also had personal experience. My first husband died of cirrhosis of the liver. My ex-partner has been struggling all his life with alcohol problems. And a dear friend died. He was an alcoholic. He died before he was 60. So I think that I've had some real life experience of alcoholism. And that's it. I feel qualified to speak on this little program because there aren't many things actually that I haven't experienced in this lifetime. Death, divorce, loneliness, betrayal, losses, losses, more losses. But whatever happens is you have to get up and you have to make it another day. You know, I feel sad that there are people, particularly men, who feel that they have to end their life because they've lost everything. You know, that who are they without the material world? I think that's quite a selfish act, actually. I hope to be around as long as possible because when I go, there's nobody close enough really to look after Elizabeth. You know, that is, I don't know if you've got children with disabilities, but it's a worry. Every day you worry, you know, what is going to happen to my child when I'm gone? Especially with the state of the finances in the country. And talking about finances, do you know, I got a bit of a shock the other day. I looked at the debt clock on the internet. And do you know that for, I think it's every second that our debt goes up by over £5,000 a second. Over £5,000 a second. I mean, for goodness sake, we owe over £1 trillion in this country. I mean, where's it all going to end? I mean, how can the government and the governments before them, how can they keep doing this? And what message does it send out to the public? You know, debt. I absolutely hate debt. I try and live as frugally as I can. You know, I have I've got 5 sick animals, and that's pretty hard going, particularly as you can only have 1 pedigree animal to the PDSA now. I think that's a bit bad that they cut it from 3, particularly if your animals are older. You know, you can't turn around to you. I can't turn around to my animals and say, sorry, mate, but, you know, you've got to go because the PDSA are only going to have 1 of you instead of 3 of you. So you have to get on with it. But thankfully, I have an amazing vet. And in fact, I'm in debt to the vet. And I'm blessed with some really good friends who've helped me out with certain things that have enabled me to keep going. Anyway, I hope that you've got the bit of a flavour of kind of who I am. And probably by now you realise that I ramble a bit, but you'll have to forgive me. Is that because I'm getting older, or is it because I've always rambled? I don't know. Anyway, any feedback would be great. Let's see where we go from here. And as I said, in my next podcast, I'm going to be talking about alcohol. And I'm hoping that I can interview at least 1 person on this subject. But we'll see. This is a whole new experiment. But I'm going to say au revoir and look forward to the next time we meet. Bye for now. Bye.